Could be. Even rolling the clock back. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday School. Glad you could make it and adjust your clocks accordingly. All right. We are still into spiritual gifts. You have your handout from last time, and we kind of wrapped up most of that, but we left a portion there on page 58 and 59, which we'll reference back to in a little bit, but we're going to start off with the handout that I've given you this morning. Not trying to be confusing, but we're kind of diving into the spiritual gifts for a mini-series that'll go beyond what your previous handouts went. And so the handout that you have, the intro to spiritual gifts, has two sides, and it also has a reference sheet with it, with just the parallel verses from Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. That's just for easy reference. Today I've put colored dividers in my Bible because I'm going to be flipping between those three chapters multiple times, because those are our three primary references when you're studying the spiritual gifts, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. There are certainly many other references, but those are our primary launching points. So this morning, we're going to get started with prayer first, and then we'll see where the Lord leads us today. Father, I thank you for a new day. I thank you for an opportunity to look at the spiritual gifts, look at how you've gifted us, prepared us to serve in the church. Lord, how you've just used your Holy Spirit to move and to work among your people and your body. And Lord, I pray that we'd properly understand them this morning, and you just help me speak the right words and help be very clear. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12. Let me just give you a brief illustration. Think about the idea of gift giving. Our topic is spiritual gifts. When we talk about gift giving, we'll give gifts at Christmas, at birthdays, anniversaries, showers, farewells, housewarmings, some special offers for making a purchase. You get gift cards online these days. You know, overall, we love gifts, do we not? We like getting gifts, most of us. Some people love gifts more than others. Some people love giving more than others. The Holy Spirit has promised us gifts that all believers will get. And so that's what we're going to look at today. But here's some things that I think we understand about gift giving. And I don't think it's hard to prove these points. But when you think about giving gifts, number one, it costs the giver, right? A good gift is going to cost something. Someone has to give something. But then the value of the gift sends a message about whether it's, you know, and it'll vary a little bit according to the occasion, according to, I mean, you might give your spouse something really great for an anniversary, but, you know, your one-year-old for a birthday, okay, you may not give the same magnitude of a gift, although some, you know, it varies. It varies. So the magnitude of the gift, but it also sends a message with it. There's an overabundance of gifts may decrease the value. We really see that with children, right? When you have a small child, I'm sure you've seen this, you go to a two-year-old birthday party and they've got like 20 gifts. They can't handle it. It's too much. It's too much new stuff all at once, and so they really don't appreciate any one thing. As our kids were growing, the grandparents didn't appreciate it at first, but I think later on they did when we had eight. You know, they didn't appreciate the fact that we said, look, please, don't give more than one gift apiece, because we didn't have room for it all. We knew the kids couldn't appreciate it all. And then when they did open gifts, like at Christmas, they would open all the gifts from Grammy. Well, then when you get your gift, everyone sits down and writes their thank you note. And then they can appreciate it, enjoy it that day. And the next day, they open the gifts from somebody else. Just little things that help them value the gifts that came. People who don't value the gift offend the giver, right? All right, so if a recipient is not grateful, then the giver often feels shunned. Or think, oh, you don't like my gift? Gifts are not all the same. Kind of mentioned that already. Some gifts require training. Some gifts require training on how to use it. I know a lot of people don't like to read those user's manuals, but they are there for a reason, and some things really require you read the user manual. Some gift requires batteries. They need extra energy in order for that gift to work properly. So again, with small children, since we have a lot of that experience, sometimes you choose not to put the batteries in so they don't make noise. But when you want them to operate properly, they need batteries. There are quiet gifts. There's loud gifts. And some gifts have multiple applications, like a kitchen mixer. You know, you get a kitchen mixer and you can do a lot of stuff with it. So those are just some things that I think we can relate to very easily. And I think you'll see as we start talking about spiritual gifts, these things that we just understand from life are all biblical principles that apply to spiritual gifts. So as we dive in, let's take a look. What are, let's read first. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to start with verse 1. Your handout there, yes, it starts with 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We're in 1 Corinthians 12. And Elizabeth, there are some more up here on the front row if you want to get some more. Verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We're going to stop there, and we will come back and pick up many more of these verses before we're done. And we also got some more folks. Thank you. So spiritual gifts, what are they? If you look at verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Then verse 7, we see, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We learn from here, and I'll just read to you Ephesians 4, 7 and 8, where we read, but unto every one is one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Spiritual gifts, when you read all the context, I think the takeaway is that they are special abilities or motivations given to believers by the Holy Ghost for edification of the church. And we will break this apart. We'll go into more detail on a lot more of these things. And when we say church, remember from our previous lessons, we're talking about a local, visible, organized assembly of baptized believers. They're unified in membership by like biblical faith and practice. So understand that the whole context, and you look at all three of these, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, our context is the church, that local assembly of baptized believers. And that's where the Holy Spirit brings in these gifts to be used for the edification of the church. So where do they come from? Well, we've already said it several times. They're coming from the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Again, that pronoun he, as we've discussed before. So as the Holy Ghost sees fit, then he will give us gifts. And the verses we just read in Ephesians 4 also support that. So who gets these gifts? Again, 1 Corinthians 12, 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In the context of writing to the church, we're talking about believers. So each believer gets a gift. And 11 that we just read, again, he divides severally as he will. So everyone, a believer, gets a gift. Ephesians 4, 7, the same thing. As I said, we're going to be going back and forth between these. Ephesians 4, 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So as we're talking about a gift, you'll see the word grace all mixed in there, and you can't separate those words, that the gift of grace. All right? Let me just hit a couple more verses here. 1 Peter 4:10 is another key one that is not on your handout there, but 1 Peter 4:10 reads, "As every man hath received the gift," so every man, again, writing to believers, "hath received the gift," past tense, "even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Minister, when we see the word minister, we, in our normal dialect today, we seem to reserve the word minister to a church setting and someone serving in a church. The word is much larger than that. It is serving. You know, Jesus came not to, I'm not going to quote it, I'll mess it up. So anyway, the minister has a broader meaning of serving. In many countries, you'll see the ministry of. Well, that's a governmental office, so it's a place of service. So when you see the word minister, it is a place of service, but in the context here of serving within the church. So as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. My understanding, well, we're going to get into some different types of gifts and different categories of gifts. And so we'll come back to this verse later to use it again when we say the gift. Romans 8, 16 through 7, 17. And I'm sorry, I must have typed that wrong. Okay, we'll leave that one for now. We'll come back. So who gets the gifts? Believers. Everyone who's saved, the Holy Spirit gives a gift. And then we believe that there's a primary gift, which we're going to get into here. In Romans 12, you'll see a list. And let's just go to your handout there on Romans 12. We're kind of throw a big picture here, and then we'll start breaking it out. So if it's kind of coming a little bit fast, it's because I have to put a bunch on the table, and then you have to start sorting it out, I believe. So in the Romans 12 verses, we see, starting in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Again, recognizing that God measures it out as he wills to different people. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." And we're going to stop there, but we could easily go on. So we have this list, we'll see, refers to what we're going to call a motivational gifts, the things that drive us, the things that we're driven to do because of the Holy Spirit empowering us and gifting us. And then in Ephesians 4, just glance at that list real quick. It's up there on your handout. We'll just look at verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And so you'll see a list there in verse 11 of another list. That list we're going to refer to as ministry gifts, things that are designed within the church to serve with. And then if you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, that where we started, when we read starting with verse 8, "For one's given by the Spirit the word of wisdom," and then we see the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, interpretation of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So here's yet another list. So there's multiple places where we have different lists that are listed out for us, so we're going to see what each of those look like to us. But it's very clear in 1 Corinthians 12, 29 and 30. We'll start with 27. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And we move into love. So there's different ones, and everyone is not going to be gifted in the same way. Now, that doesn't surprise us. We've talked about the body many times, right? The human body being an example, a building being an example. Different parts have different purposes, and when they all work together, it accomplishes the ultimate goal. Why? Why do we have them? Why has the Holy Spirit done this? Why has he gifted each and every believer? You see on the outline I put, it's not about me. So as to study the spiritual gifts, you absolutely have to start with that premise. It's not about me. It's about the church. And if you take it out of the context of the church, we start misapplying them. I think we get into the abuses of the gifts, and we will lose perspective of what God intended for us to know and understand about spiritual gifts. So let's go back to Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. In 12 and 13, after he gives a list, one of the lists there of gifts, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're going to stop there. It's not a period, but we'll stop. The gifts are for the purpose of perfecting the saints, work of the ministry, and edifying of the body of Christ to bring us all to a spiritual maturity. That's why he gave the gifts. It's really straightforward. It's not for something for us personal, though do we gain when we serve? Absolutely, because we're part of the body too. So as we serve within the body, we all benefit. But if we're only going in it for me, for my sake, then we're going to miss out. Can you imagine if your hand says, I'm all about me. I'm only going to do what I want to do. I'm only going to touch the things that feel good, you know, that are soft and are cuddly, or that fork's kind of hard. I don't want to pick the fork up. Well, I need you to pick that fork up to feed me. You know, there's all kind of stuff. Or there's other things that the hand needs to do for us to support the rest of the body, right? It's kind of obvious. But in the spiritual realm, we forget the obvious. We forget that God built a body, and he says, you have this, you have this, you have this, you have this. These are the gifts I've given you. Pull them all together. Use them to accomplish the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Go ye therefore into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature, right? So we have a purpose. That's what the church is here for. Now then at the same time, though, we are supposed to be growing together so that when the world looks at us, they go, that is something worth having. Those people have something we don't. They're different. And not from a weird perspective, but they're different because they seem to have a joy that just emanates from them that I don't have. They seem to have a purpose in life. They seem to know what they're doing and where they're going and what they're all about. The world's got to look in on us and see that this book that we claim gives us all the answers to life really does give us the answers to life. And we know that, and they know that, because we're applying it and using it. So he gives us the gifts so that we can accomplish the work of the ministry. And then also the edifying of the body. As we said, it builds up, edifying. It builds up and encourages us and exhorts us. Okay? So that's, if you want to do those handouts, or those fill-in-the-blanks, perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ. Now, how are they supposed to be used? So this has a lot of parts to it. We'll spend a few minutes. How are they supposed to be used? And who decides? This is all about what are the rules, if you will, and who's in control. All right, so let's back up. Who gave the gifts? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave the gifts. And unlike when we generally give a gift to someone, we're like totally hands off now, right? And what they do with it is what they do with it. We can like it or not like it, but it's theirs. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are a little different. Because remember how some gifts need instruction manuals? Some gifts need batteries? If I may, I think this is a similarity here where these gifts that are given are only empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they're only controlled and directed by the Holy Spirit. When we ignore the instruction manual and when we fail to apply the Holy Spirit as the energy of them, then we will use them wrongly, we'll be misguided, we'll be deceived, because somebody else is out there who would love to take this gift that the Holy Spirit has given and bring turmoil and mess up this body of Christ. Satan hates us. We cannot forget that. We have an enemy who absolutely hates us and is trying to destroy us. Okay? The Christian life is not just some, well, boy, I'm so much better now. I've got so much joy. You know, everything's nice and rosy. It's like that is not what Jesus Christ promised, and that is not what believers throughout the ages have experienced. No, instead, we're told we will have persecution. And so we've got to start off by not being deceived into lies, because then we're just willfully doing whatever the enemy wants. So the Holy Spirit is the one who controls. The context of these verses, if you look at the context of the Romans 12, it starts off with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So then after he establishes that we are supposed to be sold out to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to move and work in us, renewing our minds, doing the work of God, proving to the world that this works, then he talks to us about the gifts that we're given. If we jump into the gifts first without understanding that it's all about God, not about us, we're going to miss out totally, and we're going to totally misunderstand what we're learning. So the context there, one, it's humility and service and glorifying God. If we look at 1 Corinthians 12, when we get that, what is the context? The whole context of Corinthians is Paul the Apostle writing back to the church at Corinth, which he was there for 18 months. He got them established, taught them the truth, and then lo and behold, false teachers come in. They start twisting things around. They get selfish. They've got all these problems. And so he's writing these two letters to the church at Corinth and instructing them on the right way to go. And as we look at chapters 12, 13, and 14, we learn that they absolutely were misunderstanding the gifts. They were focusing in the wrong areas. They were not thinking about one another. They were all being selfish about themselves, and that they were causing shame to come upon the name of Christ. And so they were not glorifying God. They weren't being humble, and they weren't busy about serving as they were supposed to be doing. They misunderstood gifts. So he spends three chapters here, says, let me explain this to you. This is something, you missed something somewhere. Let me re-educate you on the gifts. And so that's why we learn so much here in 12, 13, and 14. So 12, he re-explains the very principles. He explains the body and how it's supposed to work together. In 12, you know, the second half of the chapter, you know, it's all about how the body is supposed to work together, but we have the one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. And so there's got to be the unity in the church and the same doctrine, the same belief, and same practice. But then, to make sure they didn't get it out of sorts, he gives them chapter 13, where he says, folks, you can have all these special gifts you want, but if you're not loving, you missed it. You missed the whole point. Christ came because he loved us. He exhibited that throughout all of his ministry. He exhibits that through the things that he's taught us. He's left us his word, left us the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter. He loves us. So in that context then, as we learn what love is, you know, charity, as it calls it here, charity suffereth long and is kind. It envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, it behaves itself, it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wow. So now, if you're busy serving the church, using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you, and you're loving, now the Holy Spirit is free to work. You got to leave room for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Many people do not, I believe, experience the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives because we're selfish. We're not willing to allow Him to do what He wants. We're constantly going, well, I'll do this, but not this. I'll do this, but not this. I'll believe this because it's comfortable, but not this. It's like it doesn't work that way. It's a package deal. It's all or nothing. And when we say we believe in the Bible, we have to believe it all. Do we understand it all at once? No. That's part of a Christian growth, and that's God accepts that. But as we come to understand it, we're supposed to practice it. That's why we're also in a body, so that as the body, we can help understand and make sure it's working properly. There's boundaries. You know, we're not off on our own just searching the web and picking up whatever doctrine we want. Okay? So, context of these of the teaching of the scriptures is very important. Ephesians, of the gifts. Ephesians 4, what's the context? We start off in chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So then he goes in and teaches us about the gifts after he lays the foundation of unity, of humility, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work so that God gets the glory. All right? So that's absolutely important to have that foundation. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, we looked at that earlier. And bottom line is God must be glorified. If God's not the one glorified, then something is wrong. John 13, 34 and 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? If you have love one to another. So if you miss the love part, if you don't understand charity, as 1 Corinthians 13, then you're going to miss out on how to properly use the gifts that God's given us. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16 is another good principle to keep things straight as we study. Chapter 1 Corinthians 2, starting in 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The context, again, here is that things must be spiritually discerned. If we're out here trying to use our own intellect and our own worldly wisdom, we're not going to understand it, and we're going to get them wrong. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Reads, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me. But by the grace of God I am what I am. Apart from the grace of God, we're not saved. Apart from the grace of God, we don't have any power. Apart from the grace of God, we are nothing. Anything we achieve is all fleeting moments. So the grace of God. Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh within you. Right? So it's got to be the Lord doing that. 1 Timothy 4:14, Timothy was exhorted, neglect not the gift. Not the gift. And we may revisit that verse later. 1 Corinthians 12:1, let us not be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So that's why we're doing this mini-series. We don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be unknowledgeable about what's going on. So let's set the stage briefly here, and I'm only going to go through this quickly to just kind of lay it out on the table, because then the series is going to start walking us through these. And from 1 Corinthians 12 that we started off reading in verses starting in 4, now there are diversities, differences, of gifts, but the same Spirit. That gifts is a Greek word, charisma, and it says but there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So even though there's a variety in what we're doing, the same Spirit's going to control these things. These gifts is that word that we're going to see in multiple places, showing us the list that we have in Romans 12. That's what we're referencing to, that group of gifts. And we're going to refer to those as motivational gifts. That doesn't have that word there, but when you look at the meaning of those words there, that's what drives us. That's what these special abilities that God's given us, that's what's going to motivate us to do certain things, act in a certain way, view things from a certain angle. All right? So these are the basic motivations that are given to us to show how we can love within the church and how to serve in the church. In Romans 12, we'll study in much more detail, but it gives the list of the that's printed here, the prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and mercy. And then those are the primary ones that we're going to start working through, because we believe that's the ones that every believer has one of these as a primary motivation, primary gift from the Holy Spirit that causes us to think the way we do and act the way we do. Let's see. In your previous handout that we had, we skipped that section on page 58. And so if you want just a brief definition of each one of those, and this will be what the mini-series will go through, is going through these seven things. But on the bottom of 58 from your previous handout, he refers to these as permanent spiritual gifts, these things that are lasting. They didn't pass. Remember, we talked about some last week, like healings and tongues, which we went through and why we believe those are not currently gifts. And so here on a prophecy, it refers to it as a motivation and the ability to declare God's truth. Now, prophecy has two different meanings. There's a foretelling, meaning prophets of old told things that were to come. They were the people that God used to write down the word of God. Those were prophets, all right? Well, then we also start learning about the use of prophecy within the New Testament, meaning they were the ones who were the forthtellers. They boldly proclaim the word of Christ. Not something new, not proclaiming some future, but here's the word of God, and they're the proclaimers. You think of a preacher who is boldly preaching the word of God. You know, that's kind of that office of being a prophet. And then ministry, which we also could call serving, as I discussed earlier, but the motivation and ability to serve in practical ways. Some just have that ability. They want to just serve and be a great help and do a lot of different things. Teaching, the motivation and ability to study and present the word of God clearly and accurately. You know, that takes a lot of work to do that type of thing, and some people are far better at it than others. Some people are just not just skilled, but they're motivated to do it. They want to know those finer details. They want to dig deeper. They want to do research, and that really drives them and motivates them. Exhorting, you know, there's just those encouragers. They're just out there, and they just always had a word of encouragement. They just seem to be gifted by the Holy Spirit to be that exhorter, that encourager to the rest of us. All right, and then giving. Some people are, and it's not just a matter of giving or not giving, but it's being driven by that desire and that need to give. And not just to give, but to motivate others to give as well. All right, and so we'll talk about that. Ruling. You could also, when we talk about ruling, we're not talking about being a king, you know, but we are talking about that organization, that leadership skills that come together with being able to take charge of something and organize it and think through the details and make it happen, carrying it through. Mercy. Some people have that ability to just come alongside, understand where you're at, feel for you, and help soften the blow. You know, having that sympathy or even empathy. And so some people are much better at that. Some people are terrible at it. But we're all commanded to do that, all right? Now, I will say, in context here, as we look at these gifts, we will say it again, but I want to make sure people understand that the principle of the gifts is, especially the ones we're going to go through, you can take each one of those and you can find in the Scripture where we're all commanded to do that. We're all commanded to be merciful, are we not? Okay, we're all commanded to share the Word of God, are we not? Okay, we're all commanded to study, to show ourselves approved. So there are things that we're commanded to do, but then that's differing from what the Holy Spirit has specifically gifted us to be best at. Now, does it make sense that within the body, he's not going to make everybody the same, right? So he's not going to give us all the same gifts. I mean, if everyone has the same gift, then it's almost like you don't need each other. You know, just like when two couples, you know, how often do you find two people in a marriage that are just alike? I mean, they're just everything alike, everything exactly alike. That's rare. Instead, you find people that are often very opposites. Why? Because they mesh together. You know, they meet other people, the strengths and weaknesses, and they mesh together much better. All right, at this point, we are starting to record these, by the way, just to audio, so they'll be on the website. And we're going to turn that off now because we're going to do another handout, if we can.